Welcome, my friends, to the Generations Radio Broadcast. Kevin Swanson, your host with you, Bill Jack in studio with us today on this January 1st, 2018. It's the new year.
I haven't seen you since last year.
Happy New Year, Bill.
Yeah, and to you.
Yes.
Yes.
It's another year. God has given us another year, 2018 years since the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And he's coming back.
Soon.
That's right. Sooner than...
Last year.
And sooner than 2,000 years ago.
Sooner than 10 minutes ago.
And so we need to keep that in mind, my friends. As we think of history, remember, the most important elements, the most important events of all of history is the creation of the world, the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, and then his second coming and final judgment. Friends, these are the big dates. These are the important dates. Keep these in mind. Friends, every time you study your world history or your United States history, be sure that these dates are primary in your children's minds, because this is what history is centered around. It's centered around Jesus, the creator of the universe some 6,000 years ago, and the one who came 2,000 years ago to save us from our sins, and the one who is coming back to judge the world at the end of time. These are the bookends of history. These are the most important events in history. Keep them in mind as we enter into this new year, 2018, and just a moment, prognostications and prayers for 2018. But before we go there, we're coming up on the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, January 22nd, 2018, commemorating 45 years since the Supreme Court of the United States brought what I would say is the worst Supreme Court decision setting the direction for America and ultimately institutionalizing selfishness, choice existentialism, and murder in America 45 years ago. Let's remember this New Year's Day, the 80 million babies, at least, whose lives were snuffed out because of this Supreme Court ruling from 1973.
You know, and we look back at Hitler and the legacy that he left, and it was 6 million Jews that died, it's estimated, but it's 55 million people died as a result of World War II. 55 million. And we decry that, we point our fingers at Hitler, and we point our fingers at the Nazis, but we have outdone Hitler. As you said, 80 million have died because of they've been sacrificed on the altar of selfishness and the altar of evolution.
Well, I'd like to visit this article concerning the latest George Barna report from the American Culture and Faith Institute concerning Americans' view of the abortion issue. George Barna says Americans confused on abortion issue, suffering from issue fatigue. And the first question I would ask is, should we ever be suffering from issue fatigue? As long as we are facing the sin of the nation, our own sin, at the foot of the cross of Jesus Christ, constantly coming back to the power of redemption, the power of Christ's atonement, his forgiveness of sins that only comes by way of faith in his life and his death on the cross for our sins.
You know, there are people who have been fighting for the lives of the unborn for the past 45 years,
That's
ever
right.
since that decision was rendered.
Yes.
And they have not been fatigued.
No.
They have not given up. They have persevered. And it's the person, the average Christian in the pew, who's claiming this issue fatigue. We just don't want to hear the bad news. We want to hear the good news.
I was first involved in standing up in front of abortion clinics in 1984. That means that I've been at this for 33 years. My children have all been before the Planned Parenthood clinics in Denver and Aurora, Colorado, over the last 15 to 20 years. So, no, we've been in this for generations, and we plan to stick to it over the upcoming generations. And there is no issue fatigue in our home.
No. And the reason you have issue fatigue is because you forget your purpose. And our purpose is to serve and glorify the creator of the universe who gives life. And we are to defend life. You know, it's Barna who said this. He said, the different positions that people take on abortion-related issues just don't fit together at all, but it's also not something that seems to bother most of them. They think, well, I'm doing the best I can to make sense of it, and if it doesn't fit together, I tried. And he goes on to say, they also want to avoid the conflict that goes with taking a position, and they make their choices based on emotion rather than logic or faith.
Yeah.
Adding up to what he calls a recipe for convoluted reasoning and indefensible positions.
And this is what sets the nation up for genocide. This is what sets the nation up for the slaughter of tens of millions of baby boomers who will not be supported by Social Security in the year 2035, my friends. This romanticism, this operating by feeling, this approach to ethics where it's relativistic is precisely what dominated the German Nazis in the 1930s and 1940s. Same thing's coming here. According to Barna, even the term pro-life has lost its meaning, so it's not useful to ask somebody if they're pro-life or pro-abortion. That's pretty much meaningless when it comes to polling. So he says, in spite of the fact that they call themselves pro-life and they say that they wouldn't have an abortion or advise somebody to have an abortion, they think that everybody should have the right to choose. This is the existentialist doctrine of choice, and apparently it's trumping everything the mind of the modern millennial, the modern evangelical millennial. They'd say something like, I wouldn't kill babies, but if it's good for you, if I wouldn't kill Jews. I wouldn't kill Jews.
I wouldn't have slaves myself, but if you want to have slaves.
But if you, if you want to choose, I wouldn't cut up people and do the Jeffrey Dahmer thing.
But if you decide.
What's good for you? That's the dominant ethic today on the university campus. It's the dominant ethic through the media. It's the dominant ethic in the mind of the average millennial evangelical. And 50% of millennial evangelicals say, hey, you know, if people want to get married and they're of the same gender, go for it. That's half of millennial evangelicals. Why? Because they're absorbed into the ethic of the day, which is pure relativism. I wouldn't cut up people and do the Jeffrey Dahmer thing to them.
But I'm not going to judge somebody who does.
Yeah, but if that's you, if that fits you,
anything is acceptable far away from me.
Yeah,
that's basically what it comes down to. Politically, it's libertarianism to the max, and that is that we should not have government dictating anything about morality. It's up to the individual. It's humanism philosophically, and that is that man is the ultimate determinant of what is right and what is wrong.
Well, and of course, I just got a note today from somebody who said, you guys taking a pretty hard stand about what government should do on sexual crimes. Well, friends, we don't submit ourselves to the laws of Karl Marx, or we don't submit ourselves to the laws of Jeremy Bentham, the father of utilitarianism, the father of homosexuality in the modern age. We just don't follow the humanists. We submit ourselves to the laws of God on this radio program. So just in a moment, we are going to come back to prognostications for 2018. Will the U.S. Senate back Donald Trump and defund Planned Parenthood in 2018? The answer is, we'll be back in just a minute.
Just a minute.
Folks, under Obamacare, the average family health care premiums now have exceeded $18,000, and more premium increases averaging 25% are expected for next year in 39 states. And remember, over 1,000 Obamacare plans cover abortion, and that's most of them. 5 states offer no abortion-free plans at all. And you know that all Obamacare plans contain the contraceptive abort-efficient mandate. So what do Christians do? Well, I'll tell you what we have done. My family has gone with the Samaritan Medical Sharing Ministry since 1999. Over 17 years, we have shared our medical needs with brothers and sisters in Christ, and they have shared theirs with us. And the cost? Well, it's about 1/3 of what the average family pays under Obamacare. And Samaritan Ministries does not support the killing of unborn children. Our family has saved over $200,000 in insurance premiums over the last 17 years, and we have helped literally hundreds of Christian brothers and sisters with their medical needs. We write checks every month to different families who have needs to cover. How cool is that? On top of all of that, we can support the lives of unborn children while the powerful systems in Washington are doing just the opposite. I want to encourage you to check out Samaritan Ministries as an option for your family. Imagine healthcare sharing in a Christian way. Protecting life as Christians do at 1/3 the cost. Just check it out at SamaritanMinistries.org and mention Kevin Swanson when you sign up, and we'll send you a free copy of my new book, Family Life. That's SamaritanMinistries.org. We are back on The Generations broadcast on a January 1st, New Year's Day, 2018. Happy New Year, everybody, as we bring to you prognostications and prayers for 2018. Now, as we bring these prognostications, we're just simply drawing trend lines from previous years into the current year, and not a prophet nor the son of one. But friends,
I had a pile of rocks ready.
Yeah. Hey, some prognostications. We're giving it some probability, but we're not giving you any sense of definiteness. Man makes his plans, but God directs his steps. Ultimately, the hearts of kings are in the hands of God. He turns it whithersoever he wills.
And I'm going to throw another P word in here. You've used prognostications and prayers. I'm going to admit that I'm a pessimist when it comes to prognostications.
That's where we are right now, my friend. Yeah. And the U.S. Senate will continue to push Planned Parenthood funding.
Yep.
And at least the funding of all abortifacients in 2018. That's my prognostication. Well, for one thing, they lost the Alabama seat. The U.S. Senate was already bad. It's even worse now than it was 2 months ago, my friends. The U.S. Senate will continue to push Planned Parenthood funding and at least the funding for all abortifacients. And remember, that's been the most significant shift in America in the last 5 years. Contraceptives, abortifacients were not 100% funded by Obamacare, by socialist medicine, until 2011. Friends, we have seen a massive change in American birth control, in American abortifacients, and yes, indeed, there will be far more children losing their lives in the wombs of their mothers in the year 2018, 2019, 2020 than there were in previous years. Why? Because of government funding of abortifacients. And you can bet your life the U.S. Senate, the Republicans in the U.S. Senate, would not touch that funding. Why? Because feminism and abortifacient funding completely dominates. I say it completely dominates in America today.
And however, Kevin, there is a ray of hope here, and that is, would you have expected that the sex scandals would have been exposed as they have been? And there is hope that perhaps that if a sex scandal can be exposed as it has been, that people will come to their senses and the Spirit of the Lord will move on people and say, look what you're doing to the unborn, and something needs to be done about that.
Always the possibility for God to intervene and bring a reforming trend into the hearts of tens of millions. But it's going to start in the church first.
And we pray that is the case.
Judgment begins in the household of God. And if it doesn't start in the church, and if all we're hearing is Randy Alcorn and Kevin Swanson and two others.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not enough. Okay, friends, we're going to wait for the rank and file. We're going to wait for the church to reform. But in the meantime, the U.S. Senate will not. Okay. Now, also, I'm going to guess that Donald Trump will continue the John Maynard Keynes strategy in 2018, that is, cut taxes, increase spending, and increase debt in order to stimulate the economy some more, until the dead body just simply cannot be stimulated by hundreds of billions of dollars of this drug anymore. America will drive up its debt another $600 billion, taking the debt-to-GDP ratio up to 110%, give or take, in preparation for the great worldwide depression of 2020, or whenever. All right. Evolutionists will claim in 2018 that they have found the mechanism for the origin of life on Earth.
As they have every year since Darwin.
And then, I'm not done yet. And then, Bill, they will reconsider their data and realize they've made another fatal error.
Another mistake.
And apologize to the world again for their misstatements. Now, that happened
on page 64B of the New York Times.
That's right. That happened in 2017.
Yes, it did.
And it will happen again in 2018.
And again.
And they will continue to try to find the origin of life, which, as it turns out, was God breathing the breath of life into Adam. Okay. America will continue its drug binge in 2018. More states will legalize marijuana.
Oh, I thought you were talking about my coffee habit.
No. I'm talking about a little heavier drugs. Okay. I'm talking about
I was about to get convicted here, you know.
Yeah, I know. I've still got a little bit of coffee in the mug here.
I see that. I was about to come over on your side of the table and get it, you know.
Were you? Yeah. Well, this is the marijuana binge. America will continue its marijuana binge, I think, in 2018. More psychotropic drugs for the kids, of course, and more opiate deaths.
California just legalized marijuana, and they're going to have a marijuana marketplace. And they have chefs lined up to to infuse marijuana into recipes, including marijuana rub steaks.
Okay, and I'm guessing, my friends, that at least in the state of California, there will be socialist medical support for marijuana.
Yeah, it's the largest medical marijuana
coming to a state
ever.
Near you, coming to a city near you. State funding of drugs, of course, that's already happening with the legal opiates, the legal forms of heroin that are administered to the tune of 259 million prescriptions every year. And my guess is there will be at least 300 million prescriptions of legal opiates, opium types of drugs in the year 2018. And more people will die of drugs next year than those who died in the Vietnam War. I say that because the same thing happened last year. Sadly enough, Americans will continue to try to find as many exit ramps off the highway of reality that they can find while they prepare for Judgment Day. Also, madmen will continue to improve their nuclear arsenals in 2018. And we will have to review Psalm 46 again. Come behold the works of the Lord, who has made desolations in the earth. Who is it that makes the desolations in the earth? Who is it that makes the desolations in the earth?
It's not man.
It is the Lord God of heaven and earth who makes the desolations in the earth. Therefore, kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish from the way. Psalm 2. So, friends, I think 2018 will be the year in which trust in the innate goodness of men's heart will waver a little bit, even in the hearts of humanists who just want to trust in the innate goodness of man. But when it comes to the madman in North Korea, it becomes increasingly difficult for people to trust in the innate goodness of men whose fingers are poised over buttons that could result in the deaths of tens of millions, if not hundreds of millions of people in 1,000 of the largest cities around the world. There are some 1,000 cities around the world with population bases of 500,000 and more. And those are the cities that are most subject to the hundreds, if not thousands, of nuclear weapons available to people like the North Korean dictator. All right. So madmen will continue to improve their nuclear arsenals, and trust in the innate goodness of men's heart will waver just a little bit. I'm not saying with this, the Calvinists. I'm talking about the more optimistic non-Calvinists out there who say, but I still believe in the innate goodness of men. Man is good. Man is good. Man is so good.
As they lock their cars and lock their front doors.
His feet do
night.
Not run to evil. His feet do not run to the shedding of innocent blood. Okay, my friends, I think that we're going to see more of a Romans 3 perspective developing in the hearts and the minds of a few Christians here and there in 2018. All right. Also, here's my take on this one. And you've already mentioned this, Bill. I think, and I pray, and I hope that Justice Kennedy will do the right thing on this religious liberty case come this spring.
Yes.
Now, I've given it a 60-40, but I'm bending it 60-40. From what I heard in the testimony and the questions that were posed in the Supreme Court review of the Denver Baker case, religious liberty case, I believe that Justice Kennedy is moving in the right direction. Now, of course, his heart is in the hand of the Lord. It will be the mercy of God upon the church in America if Justice Kennedy goes the right way on this.
Yes. And people need to realize that these justices are swayed by public opinion, as even if they say they're not. So they're watching the press on this. They're watching the articles on this. And he could be swayed one way or the other on this. I pray that God removes some justices and replaces them with righteous men and women.
All right. Well, prognostications for 2018 now on the Generations broadcast. Hollywood will continue to see its glow tarnished and tarnished some more in 2018. I think the child molestation problems in Hollywood are going to break out and turn out to be so bad that even Christian evangelicals will be a little more jaded about the movies, the stars, and all that garbage produced by Hollywood.
There's been an attempt to cover up the Corey Feldman issue.
Yes.
You know, and yet he continues to speak and continues to pull the the veil back and show what happens in Hollywood to children. And he should.
And I hope that even Christian evangelicals will be somewhat disappointed with Hollywood in 2018. What do you think the chances are?
You know, in looking at the box office take,
yeah,
Hollywood is down.
Okay.
They are
okay.
down.
All right. All right.
Okay? And people are not going to movies as they did in previous years.
All right. Here is a couple other prognostications for the year 2018 on the Generations broadcast. Fox News will feature another 648 stories of public school teachers violating the Seventh Commandment with their students. I haven't been able to count the number of stories that were issued in 2017, but I'm guessing there's going to be at least 648 stories about how wicked behavior is happening in the Greek gymnasiums. Oh, I'm sorry, the American public schools.
Yes.
Okay. Also, Disney will start working on its new homosexualized cartoon series for four-year-olds. And public school insanity will continue with the transgender nightmare for a few more years.
Yep.
What do you think?
I think so, until it just caves in on itself.
Meanwhile, homosexuals will push hard for a lowering of the age of consent. And I think what's going to happen, Bill, is that lawyers are going to start writing up contracts for people who want to sign up if they're going to be part of the big confused sexual orgy out there, so that they can't sue their boss at Fox News in the year 2021. I think that you're just going to have contracts and lawyers and attorneys attending the events in the years to come.
So what you're predicting is that attorneys are salivating.
I'm sure they are.
Yes.
There's many opportunities, I'm sure, for the mess out there. But in the meantime, Christians are calling the nations to repentance, because now is the time to repent, because God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world by that man whom he has ordained, as he has established by the resurrection from the dead. And that, my friends, is the message to this nation, as it was to Athens in 60 AD when the Apostle Paul visited that depraved city. Okay, now, friends, as we wrap up this edition of the program, I'd like to issue some prayer requests, some things we want to pray for in the year 2018. My heart is heavy. My heart is burdened with some of the things that we've brought out on this edition of the program, and I open up to Bill Jack as well to issue any other prayer requests that you may have. But I would pray this year that God would raise up at least 100 pastors that would preach a biblical worldview, the law of God, repentance, the power of the gospel to actually change lives, to bring about amazing resurrections. Basically, the basics, that there would be something of a Holy Spirit boldness in 100 pastors across this country, two in every state. That would be my prayer for this year, that there would be at least two pastors in every state with a Holy Spirit boldness and a willingness to get arrested by state governments, or even by the Trump administration, if necessary, and thrown into prison for preaching the word of God relevantly to our day. That's my first prayer request. Secondly, that 1 million Christian parents would remove their children from the transgendered schools, the homosexualized schools, and the humanist worldview indoctrination centers, so their children will not be molested in body, mind, and soul. And I'm talking about 1 million Christian parents. I know it's a lot. That would be a big, big, big step. That would be the biggest step. That'd be the biggest step we've ever seen in the history of this nation. We might see close to 100 to 200,000 parents a year that become somewhat concerned, and they begin asking the question, what am I doing in this handbasket and where are we going?
Yeah.
But I would like 1 million parents this year. Let's pray. My friends, I would encourage you to pray big. Pray really big in your church prayer meetings and your family worship times. Pray for 1 million Christian parents to remove their children from the transgendered schools so their children will not be molested in body, soul, and mind. And also I pray that tens of thousands of Christian parents would go so far as to demand Christian curriculum with a biblical worldview for their kids, for every year, for every age. And I want to pray that some of our most esteemed leaders, evangelical leaders like Franklin Graham and Al Mohler and others, would take a stand on the important issues, that these men would have the faith to stand against the zeitgeist of the day, like Christian parents raising their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord versus sending their kids off to the humanist indoctrination centers. See, I would love to see the faith, the courage to take a stand against the real zeitgeist, the real enemy, the dragon, the big dragon. We can't just be swatting flies. We've got to be going after the dragons that are burning down the villages.
It reminds me of Colossians 2:8. See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. For in him all the fullness of the deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you've been made complete. We need to make certain we're not taken captive. And then, as it says in 2 Corinthians 10:5, take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ.
Yes.
And so I pray that we have students who come through worldview training programs like Worldview Academy, and that we double our number of students. Mm. We have been at about 2,300 students for the past few years. I'd like to see that explode, just as like you'd like to see parents begin to pull their students out of the secular schools. And I pray for the students what Paul prayed to when he spoke to the Ephesians. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. What is the surpassing greatness of his power toward us who believe? These are in accordance with the working of the strength of his, God the Father's might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. So I pray that Christians, both students and adults, eyes may be opened.
Yes.
And they begin to act
yes.
accordingly, that we begin to think and then live in accord with a biblical worldview.
And I would add that they would, on a daily basis, 5 million Christian parents would provide the reading of the scriptures with their children. That would be about 2.5% of America. That's what I would pray, is that, friends, unless you're in the Word, unless you're exhorting one another daily, so long as it's called today, you're going to be hardened with the deceitfulness of sin. That's Hebrews 3:13. So my prayer is that 5 million Christian parents would provide at least a once-a-day scripture reading with their kids, and that 500 churches in America would get serious about worship. I mean, bring that gravitas in that Dr. R.C. Sproul would speak on. Just more gravitas, more seriousness, more the fear of God, more of a sense of the holiness of God. That 500 churches in America would get more serious about worship and discipleship and avoid the entertainment fests. That 5,000 churches would actually start adding prayer meetings in the upper rooms, where maybe 20, 30, 40 people come together who want to pray, who are filled with the Holy Spirit of God, and they'd participate. And I'm not talking about just the women. Now, oftentimes you announce a prayer meeting and you get 25 women and one man who shows up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about men as well as women. I'm talking about what Paul talked about in 1 Timothy 2:8 when he said, I would that men everywhere pray with the lifting up of holy hands without wrath and without doubting. I'm talking about men dominating, coming in, saying, no, no, we got to be in the prayer meetings now. We have a burden for our families, for our churches, for our civil society. This would be a radical reformation in our day, friends. It would be a total miracle if men would show up at prayer meetings with the lifting up of holy hands, without wrath and without doubting. What a blessing that would be. That would be the outpouring of the Holy Spirit of God upon a nation if that happened. And that's what I pray for 2018. That America will not lose 90% of its church attendees like England did, that now has the church attendance of 2-3%. That God would humble the Gentile world. That God would humble the Jewish world. That God would have mercy on a small remnant at least. And that our children would not apostatize from the faith and go to hell, as what 70-95% of the millennial generation are confessing to at this point. Friends, we live at one of the most desperate times in all of human history. It's just that people haven't woken up to it. They're just not watchful, diligent. They don't have the gravitas. They just don't see it. And I pray that God would wake us up and cry out for a revisitation of the Holy Spirit of God in our churches, and bring about a commitment of faith that would hold to the hope of our calling, and would come and worship God and serve him diligently, diligently in his kingdom work, engaging the church militant so that one day we will all be a part of the church triumphant at the end. That is my prayer for 2018. Folks, Happy New Year, and may God bless you and your family as you stay in the Word and as you stay on your knees in 2018. This is Kevin Swanson and Bill Jack in studio, and we invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.
If you want the right worldview for your news, you'll want the right worldview for your children's education. That's why we've produced the Worldviews in Conflict curriculum for your teens. It's a curriculum that will equip them to engage the war of the worlds. Check it out at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum. It's New Year's Day, Monday, January 1st, AD 2018. This is the Worldview in 5 minutes. I'm Adam McManus. Thousands of Iranians have taken to the streets of several cities in response to a surge in prices of basic food supplies, like eggs and poultry, reports the Associated Press. Police arrested 52 people. The demonstrations appear to be the largest to strike the Islamic Republic since its 2009 Green Movement arose after Ahmadinejad's re-election. Some protesters chanted the name of Iran's one-time Shah, who fled into exile just before its 1979 Islamic Revolution. President Donald Trump tweeted, quote, "Many reports of peaceful protests by Iranian citizens fed up with regime's corruption and its squandering of the nation's wealth to fund terrorism abroad. Iranian government should respect their people's rights, including right to express themselves. The world is watching." End quote. Jews in Germany are increasingly under threat in public and may require police protection to lead a normal life without harassment and violence, according to Charlotte Knobloch, the former president of the Central Council of Jews in Germany, reports Breitbart.com. Knobloch told the publication Die Welt that events such as the public menorah lighting have been canceled. Many have blamed the influx of Muslim migrants under Chancellor Angela Merkel for the growth in anti-Semitic incidents. On Thursday, President Donald Trump tweeted, quote, "In the East, it could be the coldest New Year's Eve on record. Perhaps we could use a little of that good old global warming that our country, but not other countries, was going to pay trillions of dollars to protect against. Bundle up," end quote. Democrat Senator Elizabeth Warren of Massachusetts responded by tweeting, quote, "I believe in science. Climate change is real, and we have a moral obligation to protect this earth for our children and grandchildren," end quote. Conservative actor James Woods brought up Warren's dubious claim that she has Native American ancestry. He tweeted, quote, "DNA is also based in science. Yours does not show you are Native American. So either you're an outright liar or you actually don't believe in science. Which is it? Hashtag Liawatha," end quote. Jerusha Armfield, the granddaughter of famous evangelist Billy Graham, has said that her uncle Franklin Graham should tone down his praise for President Donald Trump, whom she argued has not shown himself to be a Christian. In an interview by CNN's Pamela Brown, Armfield said, quote, "I think my uncle has an incredible humanitarian ministry that's been on the front lines often before a lot of ministries have been there. I think he probably needs to stick to doing that," end quote. In a December Facebook post, Franklin Graham wrote, quote, "Never in my lifetime have we had a president willing to take a strong, outspoken stand for the Christian faith like President Donald J. Trump has. Whether you are Protestant, Evangelical, Orthodox, Catholic, all Christians need to get behind him with our prayers," end quote. And finally, Corey Jones could not bear to see 89-year-old Art Quick living out the rest of his days all by himself. So instead of allowing the Navy veteran to face the world alone, Jones invited him into his family, reports Good News Network. Quick first met Jones and his 6-year-old daughter Malia at the Family Golf Center in Antioch, Tennessee. As the senior coached the father-daughter duo on their swing, he mentioned that he had been living in motels since the last of his relatives passed away. That's when Jones asked the veteran if he'd like to move in with him and Malia. This is what the 89-year-old said.
"He let me stay here and be a part of the family.
But more importantly, listen to how Jones described his motivation for opening his home to WSMV television.
I couldn't imagine being alone, especially the point that he's at in his life. I don't think family is all tied with bloodlines. It's the people who take care of one another. That's family.
1 John 3:17 says, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" And that's The Worldview in 5 minutes on this New Year's Day, Monday, January 1st, in the year of our Lord, 2018. Subscribe by iTunes or email to our unique Christian newscast at theworldview.com. I'm Adam McManus. Seize the day for Jesus Christ. What kind of worldview do your children get? The vast majority of teens from Christian families are abandoning a biblical worldview, according to the Barna Group. Sadly, many parents do not realize that the curriculum they have chosen for their children actually conveys the wrong worldview of history, science, life's purpose, and truth. Pass on the faith to your children with a distinctively Christian education. Check out our Christian discipleship curriculum at theworldview.com/curriculum. That's theworldview.com/curriculum.